we as a church are going to declare this together. There's nothing impossible. Come on. sing it. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Come on. Come on, declare it.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah.
Simply one thing that could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and it is nothing. It is no thing that could separate us. So when I sing the words, what can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your response will be, so what can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? I said, what could ever, ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? You say, nothing. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, you're coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Come on. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh,
Shout your praise. Our hearts will rise. These bones will to your face, will you take me there again? You can search my heart in the deepest part, from beginning to the end. To you my eyes are lifting, to you my prayer is rising up. You've captured my attention.
And I'm no orphan, and I'm not a poor man. The kingdom's now become my own, and with the King I've found a home. He's not just
off despair. Despair, that, you know, that hole, that pit in your stomach, when there's that pit in your stomach that's empty in a place where hope should be. In a place where hope should be, there's nothing. So you find yourself on a boat in the middle of the sea, and the winds and the waves, and you've got a pit because you feel like, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if it's going to be okay. And I want you to know, God wants to break that despair off of you by reminding us that we're not victims, my friend. We used to be helpless. We used to be lost at sea. We used to be in a pit that we couldn't get ourselves out of. But now, the one who speaks to the winds and the waves is in the same boat with us. Now he says that we are a child of God, that he had promised his protection, his provision. So he wants hope to rise this morning. Don't let despair win. Let hope rise. Because the same promise that he made to them that, hey, we're going to go to the other side is the same promise that he's made to us. And it's true. It's true today, tomorrow, and for eternity that he's got our future intact. So wherever you are, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And shake off despair. Whatever it is that's got your mind bent on worrying. And right now, cast it on him. Because he is who he says he is. When he's a savior, he means it. He saves. When he says he's refuge, he means it. He's a safe place to run. He is protection. He is provision. Father God, we cast our cares on you and we declare this is true, that we are who you say we are. And we will not roll around in despair, God, because you said we have hope for today and tomorrow and eternity. So we choose to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that he who promised, he is faithful. And we're going to have joy. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Woo. Gosh, I hope you're encouraged this morning. Man, I love coming to worship because that's part of the biggest thing that happens. You get encouraged when you fix your focus on the right thing. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Life, Picayune, Mississippi. Today's forecast, sunny, partly cloudy, with a high of 172 degrees. But bless God, we got air conditioned, baby. It's a great day to be in church. And it's working. If this is your first time here at Resurrection Life, man, we want to say thank you for coming. We hope you feel welcome here. We hope you feel safe here to be who you are. We just try to make it feel like home. That's always our prayer, is that when you come, it feels like home. So everybody's got different personalities. You know what? When I stepped on the stage, I was just feeling it. You know, I was feeling inspired. You know what I mean, Adam? Just feeling inspired. So instead of just saying welcome, you know what? We got to do something. We got to do something. I'm going to need somebody to hit a beat right now. My drummer, man, can you hit a beat for me? You know, yeah. All you visitors out there, this one's for you. Hey there, it's nice to meet ya. This is the time that we take to greet ya. I know it's your first time and you're scared, so I'd like to take just a minute to make sure you're prepared. Go out the double doors in the back, and if you turn to the left, you'll get yourself a snack. If you got little kids, just follow the crowd. Go out the door and all the way around. Our hope for you is just to teach you that Jesus really loves you and he wants to reach you. It's your first time, but I hope you see that RLM is just a big family. So right here, right now, before the music cuts, RLM family, let's show our visitors how we give it up. That one was for you. I hope you enjoyed it, because you probably all just witnessed the beginning and end of my rap career.
Hey, if you're interested in doing water baptism, we're going to have it on July the 29th. You need to call a church office, speak to a pastor, and get on the list.
The Conquer Series is this weekend, Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. So get everybody and get registered, whether at rlministry.org or right after this, you can go to the back of the room and sign up to register. One weekend is absolutely worth the investment for long-term freedom in this area.
If you have been at Resurrection Life for any length of time, you have realized that life groups are the heart of Resurrection Life. We are very relational here. And if you have an idea for a life group, or you just say, I want to find out more what it's like to lead a life group, we're having life group, new life group leader training coming this Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday is at 5 o'clock in the Java Cafe. If you can't make that one, guess what? We've made it very convenient for you to come Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in the Java Cafe. If you have any questions about life groups or about the life group training, why don't you see Jacob Hickman?
Amy Hickman, and I oversee our heart-to-heart women's ministry here at Resurrection Life, and I am so excited to announce today that we are working with our very own Hannah Nix to host a Kingdom Women's Night on Friday night, July 27th at 6 p.m. Hey, so high school and college-age girls, we really need you to RSVP to rlministry.org. Just click on events to help us be very prepared for you. And those of you who are above the college age and high school age and would love to be a part of this by serving in some way, please call the church office and let them know, and you can certainly be a part. It's going to be a great night. I can't wait to see you.
Twice as Nice Thrift Store is having a back-to-school special on the 28th of July from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And what they're doing is that all clothing is $1. And also, for those of you that need a basic haircut, it's going to be free. Like me, I'm going to get my hair cut because I have basic hair. If you feel like God is calling you and your family to make Resurrection Life your home church, well, guess what? We're having our new family members reception coming soon.
That's right. It's happening on July the 29th at 7 p.m. And all you need to do is RSVP online.
Yeah, and you know what I love about families?
Yeah.
All families have that crazy aunt or that crazy uncle or that strange grandpa.
And if you don't know who that person is, it's probably you. So, Todd, do you have anybody like that in your family?
No. We're all perfectly sane.
Mm-hmm. Denial is more than just a river.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Some of your Bibles say hell. He's not talking about the little place. He's talking about what you're walking through. You will not leave my soul in hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Romans 14:17 says this. And the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that right now that you'll be with us. You'll define what I cannot define. That you'll speak what I cannot speak. God, that you will bring rejoicing for sadness. God, I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, Todd, let me get this right. The Bible app is working or no? You just need to take your pen out and write. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. Okay, I'm going to give you a bunch of them. And I had 2 pages more of this. I just had to pick and choose. But I want to talk to you about joy. Because joy is absolutely imperative in today's world. Everything is negative. Every story is negative. Everything we read is negative. Everything we see and are told. I mean, you've heard this saying, bad stuff sells. The juicier the story, the better it is. And man, there is such a depression and a hopelessness going on right now, even amongst the church. I mean, we are slipping in. I mean, they are treating 5-year-olds with medicine for depression. The world, bring this down a little bit, Ty. The world has no hope. Their only hope is throw a pill at it, numb you. They can't deliver you. They just want you not to feel anything. And listen, the world says, God says, that my joy is your strength. The Bible says that God, that the people of God should have joy in the midst of despair. You don't have to stand out on a, look, you don't have to stand out on a curb with a sign saying, I am a Christian. Just have a little joy in today's world. You'll stick out like a light. Have a little joy. Now, let me try to define joy for you. Before we go on, I want to try to define it because it's kind of this nebulous thing. Joy, what does that mean? Happiness, well, it can't be happiness. Happiness, I mean, happiness, you can make me happy by handing me a bowl of Bluebell. And you can make me sad immediately by taking my bowl of Bluebell. I mean, happiness comes and goes, and I'm happy. I can be happy, and my happiness be gone. You know, we need this. You know, hey, I got money. Then my children wake up, no more money. I mean, it comes and goes. Can't be that. It can't be some of the words that describe, in the translation, they use word joy. But some of the Hebrew words that they translate joy mean singing, dancing, shouting, celebrating. Let me tell you something. Christians ought to dance. Now, I know I grew up in a church that dancing was bad. You know, you don't do that. Man, we ought to celebrate. We ought to dance. We ought to shout. We ought to twirl around. You know, God does. Zephaniah 3:17, God says he rejoices over us with singing. That word rejoices means he twirls around and dances. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but it can't be that. The joy that I'm talking about, it can't be just singing and dancing. Because what about verses like Nehemiah 8:10 where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. How about this one? Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How about this one? John 15:11 says, I am going to leave, Jesus is talking, I'm going to leave my joy so that your joy may be full. He can't be talking about a song or a dance step or, you know, he's got to be talking about something else. And I want to define when it says what the joy of the Lord, when it says it's my strength, I want to define what that is for you. I want to attempt to. Because we need to have it. We got to have it in this day of despair and depression that's running rampant. The children of Jesus Christ should be joyful. That doesn't mean we walk around, you know, stupid. I'm happy all the time. You know, I ain't talking about that. When bad stuff happens, it's time to weep. There are times, but you don't stay there because joy won't let you. All right, let me define it for you. I'm sorry, we'll have all these notes up later on in the week. You know, it killed all the internet and all whatever. Let me define joy for you. It is a pleasure, delight, a sense of contentment given to you by the finished work of Jesus Christ. See, are you listening to me? It's nothing you can earn. It's nothing you can buy. It's given to you by the finished work. This can notice the words I'm using, a delight, a contentment. It is the activity of the Holy Spirit that gives us confidence and satisfaction that no matter what you see, you see the end and Jesus has won. It's this thing inside of you that when you are saved and it's deposited inside of you, that no matter what Satan shows you and no matter what you see with your physical eyes, you kind of got this grin and this peace and this contentment on the inside because you know that's not the end. You see the end. Let me give you a couple examples so you understand. Okay. You ever watch a baby learn to walk? I've had a little experience with this. You watch a baby learn to walk. You as an adult, you watch the baby stand up, wobble, fall. Sometimes they get hurt, don't they? It's painful for them. What do? A lot of times you laugh. You, even when they go, oh, it'll be okay. You know, oh, they got hurt. But you put them back up and ask them to do it again. Why? Because there's something inside of you that screams out, you're going to get this. You're going to make it. There's something inside of you, even when they fall and hurt themselves, you know the end. You've seen the end result, and you know you're going to get this. Come on, keep going. And there's something that rises up, even when they hurt themselves, even when they fall on the table, and you take care of them, you love them, oh, I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 blah. Now, let's do it again. You don't stay there. Because something in you digs out of that disappointment because you're not going to stay there. That's joy. It's that contentment. It's that peace that no matter what, there's something in you that no matter what, that you can't even explain. You don't know why you feel this way, but there's something in you that won't let you quit, that won't let you be in despair for very long, that won't let you stay in sadness, because there are going to be things in your life that are going to make you sad, that are going to break your heart, that are going to make you despondent, that are going to hurt you, that are going to be bad and horrible to walk through. But if you've got the joy of the Lord, it will dig itself out of that thing and say, I am not going to stay here. This is not the final word. I watched my dad on his deathbed laugh and witness to young girls and to the nurses and make jokes because he had seen the end. He knew because there was something in him that said, you know, this ain't it. This isn't the final word. That's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. No matter what, there is something in you that just knows. Well, knows what, brother? It just knows. This ain't my stopping point. I'm not going to stay in this pain. This is not the last word. Jesus had joy. Jesus had joy. I just read to you John 15:11. John 15:11 said, he said, look at it, that I'm going to leave you, my joy is going to remain in you. Because I want your joy to be full. Everybody say full.
Full.
He wants us to be full of joy. Hebrews, what was his joy? What was his joy? Hebrews 12:2 tells us his joy. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. Who are we looking at? Jesus. I'm not going to look at the surroundings. I'm not going to look at the news. I'm not going to look at all that to get how I feel today. I'm looking unto Jesus, the one who started this world, the one who's going to finish this world, who sat before him. Look what he said. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down to the right hand of the Father. Listen to me. You're going to find out. I hope that you do a study on joy. You're going to find out that joy is always around endurance and patience and hard times. It's always mentioned around when you're going through hard times. Jesus went through the worst death possible on the cross, and he did it with joy. He even told Pilate, he said, look, man, you ain't taking my life. What do you think? You think you're taking it? I'm giving it freely because I got a joy that it goes before. What was the joy? Look at it was a prophesying his joy. Look at this. Isaiah 53:11 says this. He shall see. This is a prophecy about Jesus. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. The joy of being you, having the opportunity to say yes to him, that to say we want to be born again, and seeing us swept into the kingdom. It says that he looked at it, he looked into the future, and he saw it, and he was satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. He sees. See, you gotta have something in you that sees past what's right in front of you. Peter was about to deny him, heard him even cuss that he knew, deny he even knew his name. And Jesus looked past it and said, Peter, when you turn, it wasn't if you turn. It's when you turn.
Amen.
Gosh, there's a confidence that dug out of, he saw Peter betraying him. He was human. He'd had that hurt. But he saw, that's not it. That's not the final word. When you turn, strengthen the brethren. See, I can go through hell if I know I'm not staying there. I know it doesn't have the final word. What was Jesus' prayer? Jesus in John 17, he prayed for those who will believe by what these say. He was praying for his disciples. He said, I not only pray for them, I pray for those who believe based on what they say. Who is that? That is us. He saw us and had joy and was willing to endure whatever to make it happen. That's joy. That's the joy he decided. The positive is that nothing Satan can do can steal. It crawls out. Yes, there is weeping for a moment. There is sadness. There is a time to weep. But that joy refuses to be covered up where you stand up and say, this is not the final word. Even in the midst of pain, Satan couldn't steal his joy. Jesus brings joy. John 17:13. John 17:13 says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak to you in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. Jesus wants, he has left joy and wants us to have it. What does joy bring to us? First thing joy brings is strength. It brings strength. I've already read, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Colossians 1:11 says this, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with what? Eat it. Listen, don't go through pain and just go through it. If you don't go through it with joy, you don't learn, you don't get out of it. Some people have been hurt and disappointed and crushed, and they're still the same pit they were in 30 years later. Joy will not let you stay there. Joy will not let you be trapped. Look at James 1:2-4. James 1:2-4. I hope you're writing down all these scriptures. You got that one? Oh, I'm sorry. I got my little tabs. I'll look at it. Look at this one. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. If there are a couple of verses I wish they'd take out of the Bible, that might be one. Count it all joy. What's happening? First of all, let me just tell you something. You know, there's people in this room right now going through all kinds of pain and suffering of all different variations. And if you ain't, you should be down here dancing, because it won't be long. It'll get to you. There'll be something happen. I can't help it. It just happens. My brethren, count it all joy to fall into various trials. Look at, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. Joy brings strength. Strength gives you endurance. Strength gives you perseverance. Strength gives you patience. You know, all them words we don't like. It gives you, listen, if you're raising kids, you better have endurance. Right? I mean, you know, if you want to do it right, you gotta out-endure them. Because they're going to test you. You're going to walk through things that you'd never want to walk through. You never choose your... You know, that's why... I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to jump off the wagon for just a second. Is that all right? Well, it don't matter what you say. I'm going to do it anyway. Do you know that they've already predicted in less than 50 years there will be no more Germans being born? Full-blooded Germans? Because the millennials don't want to be bothered with children. But the Muslims are breeding. And so Germany will be completely taken over by Muslims. And in this country right now, the millennials are having less and less children. You know why? Because they don't want to be bothered. And part of the reason they don't want to be bothered is the generation right before them, they sitting watching them hellions, and they going, shoot, throwing a fit at the store, going crazy, you can't go out. You're doing all this, you know, God said, man, shoot, I ain't having one of those. That's the truth. That's what all the surveys say. They look at them and say, look, and the problem is, you parents ain't figured out you're the parent. I ain't here to be their friend, I'm here to parent them. If you'd slap them upside the head or whip them a couple of times when you throw a fit, I bet they won't do it anymore. In fact, I'm almost sure. Mine, all of them did it once. Just once. And I made sure they didn't do that. And if that offends you, you know, I could care less. Because I can take my family to a restaurant and not be chaos. They ain't perfect. I mean, they still got a lot of their mother in them. But But what I'm saying is, knowing that I'm battling, and I'm reading the word to them, and I'm making them listen to them. We're battling, we're correcting them. I'm doing that because the joy gives me the strength, the endurance, the patience that I'm going to make it through, and they're going to get it. Anything good is guarded. That you learn the pain of life. Sometimes you got to endure pain. There is no pill going to get you out of every pain. And I'm not just talking about physical pain. You got to endure it. Joy gives you that strength. That I'm not going to stay here. Joy gives you peace. It brings peace. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Peace and joy are like twins. When I have joy, when there's a knowing, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get through. It helps me have peace. It helps me relax. It helps me understand. Lower your blood pressure. Romans 14:17. We've already said that. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the last one is hope. It brings hope. Man, you got to look at 1 Peter. You got to look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Look at this. Now listen, hold on. Before you read it, look at me. He's talking to people that are being persecuted. He ain't talking to people that are living in Malibu. He's talking to people that they're trying to kill them. They're persecuting the church already. He's talking to all these the people that believe. And look what he says. He says, "Whom having not seen, you loved." You love. You can read the rest of it. He's talking about you never saw Jesus, but in your heart you've fallen in love with him. How many of you love Jesus in here? You love Jesus. You're not ashamed of it. Well, he's talking about you. You've never seen Jesus, but something in you has made you love him. And look what happened. Did we lose it? "By whom, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believe. You rejoice with joy unexpressible and full of glory." What is he saying? I can't even explain why I believe. It's hard to explain, but I got this thing that this is not the final word. This is not where it ends. This is not how things end. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. What does he say? I see the end, and this ain't it. I've seen the end. I see something out there, and this is not the final. This is not where I stay. This is not where we camp. The joy of the Lord will not let me stop here. He says it in Psalms 30, verse 5, says this. I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you. I'm just letting the scripture read. I could give you 100 more. But Psalms 30, verse 5 says this. "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming. Weeping may endure for a while, but joy is coming. I might be overwhelmed. I might be broken right now. I might not understand. I might have pain. I might have suffering that I don't understand. And it hurts and it breaks me. But something inside of me, when Satan covers me up with that pain and that hurt, and all I can see is despair, something inside of me begins to climb out of that and say, this is not where I stay. I know that I'm in pain right now, but there is joy coming. There is a final word coming. And I refuse to stop here. Enjoy that inner confidence, knowing it brings, a lot of times it brings laughter. We should laugh more. We should be laughing when people on TV tell us it stuff. You should laugh. I think God laughs. I know He does. Why do you think He invented gas? I mean, I'm going to prove it to you. How many of you have ever changed a baby's diaper and they let out gas and started laughing? Who trained them to do that? God just did it just to keep us humble. Just to laugh a little bit. Oh, that might be a thing. Some of you should laugh a lot. Anyway. Here's what I'm saying to you. I should be able to laugh in the midst of threats and trials because I know something that pain doesn't know. I know something that demon doesn't know. I know something that the devil doesn't know. That I might weep right now, but baby, I ain't staying here because joy is on its way. And it's going to dig out of all this crap, and I'm going to step out victorious. And no matter what you do, you kill me, I win. I stay here, I win. Either way, I win through Jesus Christ. There's something in me that's got to know. Satan doesn't have the final word. Let me just throw out a couple thoughts here and then we're finished. How do you get joy? How do you grow joy? First of all, you got to be saved. Can't buy it. You can't do mental gymnastics into it. It's an unexplainable deposit of God inside of you. It's an unexplainable deposit of God inside of you that you cannot explain. You can just grow. But you got to be saved. You got to give your heart to Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute, to say, Lord, I need you. I can't do life without you. Before you Christians, you've already given your heart to Jesus. How do I grow joy? Number one, you got to focus. You got to make your focus. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2 says this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the path of sinners, the seed of the scornful. But look what he does. What does he focus on? But his delight, that delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I got to let God's word meditate. I got to think about what God says, not what the doctor says, not what this says, not what my children say, not what my children do. I got to look at what God says. I got to meditate on that. I got to focus on that. That's why worship, man, I don't understand. Man, I need worship. That's what worship is to, I'm focusing in. I'm not a victim. I'm not an orphan. I have a Father who has a plan, and Satan, you just, you know, take a hike. I'm focusing on him. Some of you love to mull over problems. You're a despair, a walking despair. If you ain't got one, you'll make one up or you'll take on somebody else's. You just love the melancholiness of despair. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Oh. If you're like that, you'll never grow joy. You got to focus. You got to decide. You got to look. You got to say, God's got the final word. His word's true. His promises are true. And sometimes you got to stand up in the very direct across from what you see with your eyes. That the word of God is the opposite of what you see in your eyes. And say, that is not truth. This is truth. That's how you grow joy. We're going to do it in just a second. His word, his promises, what he is doing. Then you ought to be telling testimonies all the time. Second one, you need the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. Galatians, look at what Galatians 5:22 says. But the fruit of the Spirit, I stop right there. You don't invent fruit, you grow them. Right? You got to grow fruit and joy. I got to have, when the Holy Spirit is around, joy is grown. I got to have that. Look, some of you are scared to death of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I don't want to speak in tongues. I don't want to wallow around on the floor. Oh, whatever idea you got in your mind. You really think God, if God wanted you to do that, he could just zap you and make you do it? That ain't God's goal. Man, your God is horrible if that's what you think. He ain't trying to embarrass you. If God wanted to, he could make your pants fall down right out in the parking lot. I mean, why would he go through all this? Man, just boop, and you're embarrassed. Okay. That's not his goal, man. He's good. The Holy Spirit wants to grow things. And one of them is joy, the confidence. The activity of the Holy Spirit. You need to begin to beg the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Beg the Holy Spirit to begin to touch you. Beg the Holy Spirit to begin to have activity, because when he does, joy is increased. I want to you're not saved in this place. In just a moment, you want to give your heart to Jesus. Man, I don't know how you make it. Well, that's why pills and all that they're prolific. People are trying to escape. Without Jesus, man, I would be scared to death to live in this world. You need Jesus. I'm going to ask you to come down in just a minute. But if you're saved, I want us to begin to let joy come in our soul. Put up, Bethany, would you put up Psalm 16, please? We're fixing to do this. I've set the Lord ever before me. I'm going to look at what you are doing. You didn't get me started on this journey to leave me right here. What he says, because he is at my right hand, I shout out, maybe, what is that saying? God's with me. I'm not alone. He's right there with me. He's with me. This is painful, Lord. Can't you see the Father? It's hurt. Can't you see the Father just like you do with your little children? I know it's okay, but get back up. Walk again. Walk again. You're going to get through. And just the whole time smiling because he knows. He says, therefore my heart will be glad. And my glory, that word in some of your new translations, my voice, my mouth. My glory rejoices. It comes, the joy that is inside of me has got to come out of my mouth. God, you are good. I'm not staying here because you're with me. My flesh rests in hope. There is a hope that cannot be mistaken. So my flesh just calms down. For you will not leave my soul. You're not going to stop me here. Nor will you allow me to see corruption. You will show me the paths of life. You'll show me how to go forward. You'll show me, Lord. And in your presence, because you remember he's with us, fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore.